But what CapCut has done is it's given themselves a perpetual worldwide royalty-free license to basically do with your content what they want. And not only content that you've published, but any drafts or any kind of content that you've uploaded into the app, which is pretty far reaching.
Welcome to Social Goals with me, Kat, the only podcast that's teaching social media and marketing strategies that actually work for your local small business without dancing trends, posting 3 times a day, or burning out. It's time to do social strategically. Welcome to this week's episode of Social Goals. I'm really excited for this episode. It's probably going to be the most time accurate or time sensitive episode because we're going to be talking about some news that just dropped that if you are a CapCut user or really just a small business creating content, you're going to want to listen to this. And I'm joined by my friend and Canadian lawyer, Jamie Bell, who is the founder of Contracts Market, where she provides legal contract templates for coaches and freelance service providers. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thanks, Kat. Thanks for having me.
And Jamie, you were actually the one who brought this to my attention. Your email last week, I'm just looking at my inbox and I think your email was like, if you use CapCut, you need to read this. And I'm like, oh, let me just like take a peek at this. And inside you shared some pretty jaw-dropping news about the app. Do you want to share that with us, what you found?
Yeah, sure. So basically, in a nutshell, CapCut has updated their terms of service as of June 12th, so 2025. So that means that if you've used CapCut since June 12th, 2025, you've agreed to these new terms. This is what you've agreed to. So the first is you still own copyright in your videos. That is still the law. You are still the owner of your videos. But what CapCut has done is it's given themselves a perpetual worldwide royalty-free license to basically do with your content what they want. And not only content that you've published, but any drafts or any kind of content that you've uploaded into the app, which is pretty far reaching. Like Instagram doesn't do that. They only have licenses for content that you publish. And I just want to be really clear, like these platforms actually need licenses to deliver content. Giving these apps licenses to use your content for providing the services that they offer, and that's not new. What is new is that CapCut is taking this really broad license to use your content, whether you've published it and made it public or not, to do anything they want with it without your permission or without any payment to you. So what does this mean for you? This means that they can actually use your videos or videos you've created if you're a social media manager on behalf of your client. Take those videos, use your likeness, use your voice, use your name, maybe give you credit, maybe not, and use it for their own purposes so they can monetize it. They could actually use your video in an ad for CapCut and monetize it, and you would never know, and you would never get a royalty payment for that. Or there is language in there that they can sub-license it to third parties, which means they can actually sell your content to third parties for other purposes and without your permission or without paying you for anything. So that's pretty sweeping and not something that I've seen in other terms. And I mentioned to Kat before we started recording, like I haven't reviewed any of Instagram's updated terms of service as of today, but this is pretty, I would have heard about it. Online communities are like pretty on these things, but that's really a sweeping change. And then the other piece about this that is really interesting and scary is that because, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, you remain the copyright owner. If CapCut uses any of your content and you have inadvertently or just avoided getting a commercial license for anything that you're using in that content. So say you use music most commonly that you do not have a commercial license to use, and CapCut uses your video with that song in an ad and they get sued by that musician, you're liable. So even though CapCut used your video and they made money off it, they could say, well, actually, you've agreed that anything you've uploaded into our app, you have all the licensing rights to use. We know, or you should know by now, that if you're using any content for marketing your business or for ads or anything, you should not be using music that you don't have a commercial license to use. There is always the risk that you could be sued by that musician or that person who owns the commercial rights to any music or footage or images, anything that you just don't have a commercial license to use. But CapCut takes it that step further, that's saying you're still the copyright owner. So if we get sued, we're just passing those costs on to you. And where I see this being particularly problematic is if you never intended for that piece of content to actually be used commercially. Yeah, I think we all need to also get in the habit of making sure we have these commercial licenses. But, you know, we jump on trending audio really quick and use things for ads that make sense and make it fun. And, you know, we should be getting in the habit of asking if we have these licenses. But CapCut is making you liable for it, essentially.
There's like so much to unpack with these new terms of services. The first thing I want to like, I think most people, and I have used CapCut since June 12th and did not know about the kind of the in-depth nature of these new terms of service. I'm sure I hit like I agree at some point when I opened the app from then to now.
Mm-hmm.
As like, what would you recommend to the average human business owner, like when we're met with these huge terms of service updates and things, like how can we make decisions on if we actually agree that like we really do need to be reading them in depth to find out about these kind of scary things?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a few things there. So yes, we should be reading these terms of use. No, nobody reads them. So like, this is not a shame situation. I think what we have to do is like, now that there's so much access to these things, like ByteDance is problematic for many reasons. Like, we know the whole TikTok thing going on. Like, this is being, I'm not surprised to see this coming from ByteDance.
Yeah, I think I'll just add in a little bit of that context for people that CapCut is owned by ByteDance, which also owns TikTok. So there is, as Jamie was saying, that like, there's layers to this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so there's layers to that. Yes, we should be getting in the habit of reading terms of use. I'm a lawyer. I'm going to tell you that because there's implications otherwise. Like, if you are using CapCut for your client work, you now can't give full copyright ownership to the work you're creating to your client because CapCut has this worldwide license. So you need to understand licensing terms. Same with apps like Midjourney. I was just answering a question in my emails today because this raised this question. This logo designer is using Midjourney to create logos for her clients. And Midjourney takes a pretty sweeping license as well. Midjourney, for people who don't know, is like an AI tool for more on the imaging side. And that's problematic because if you are using AI and you're using that final output as it is to give to your clients, they don't actually have full ownership because Midjourney has a license. Now, there is the risk, and I want to take all of this with a grain of salt. Like, everybody's freaking out about this. Like, the likelihood of CapCut using your video to market CapCut if you're like a small creator is like pretty low. Like, I'm not worried. Like, to be honest, I'm not worried. I don't think CapCut's going to go into my drafts and like take one of my videos and like use it. I really am not worried, but I'm also not a big creator and I'm not monetizing my content in that way. If I was a big creator and my whole life and income was dependent on creating content online and I was putting out that quality of content, which I'm not, cool, like surprise. I'd be concerned.
Right.
I'd probably switch my apps. Like, out of the gabillions of videos, like, what is the risk? Like, we always need to balance, like, all this scare and fear-mongering that's going on around this right now. Like, is it really a risk for you and your video being used by CapCut? There's a risk, but, like, the likelihood of that happening is, like, pretty low. Where I see that people really needing to look at how they're using these apps is if they're creating client works and getting consent from their clients to do this, because their clients should know that by their videos being uploaded into the app, they're losing certain rights. So I think that's where the conversation should be focused, really.
Okay, that's really good context. So for like the average small business, small creator, it's something they need to be aware of. but not necessarily where like you need to run from the platform. We have to make the educated, like,
it's your own comfort.
Yeah.
Like, I had people ask me, like, aren't you going to delete the app right away? I'm like, no, I love the teleprompter and I'm not worried. You know, like, I'm not uploading anybody's face but mine. They, you know, could give two hoots if CapCut takes my video. It just is not something that I'm really focused on worrying about right now, but that's not for everybody. And again, my content is probably not something that I'm worried about, you know, licensing and selling at this point. So it's not something that is keeping me up. But again, everybody just needs to gauge that with their own content and how they feel about the risk. And then, you know, again, that client-centered conversation needs to happen.
For sure. And I think, like, overall, you mentioned earlier, like, you haven't read Instagram's newest terms of service. But I think for folks to, like, recognize that, yes, CapCuts, like, are sweeping and kind of go further than any other ones. But all of those things that we're saying, like, I agree to, they have things similar to this. So when I was researching before this, like, Adobe, when they did their most recent terms of service update, it brought up a big conversation and they had to clarify a few things because it was like some of the similar issues about, are you using my content to train AI and all these type of pieces. So when we're putting content out into the world, like, this is something we have to be aware of and, like, cognizant of, is that these platforms do, like, are sharing our work, and there are those, like, legal pieces behind it.
Totally. And, like, we are losing control of our content anytime you post something. CapCut's terms of service are sweeping, but it doesn't take much to steal a piece of content and use it in an ad and for you never to find out about that anyway. So I think this general conversation is, we're also losing some rights, not rights. We're just losing control of our content when we post it online in any event. The difference being that you're actually agreeing to under CapCut service, terms of service. And in other situations, there are mechanisms to potentially have that content taken down if you decide to spend your energy that way and your money.
One thing you mentioned with, like, third-party content. So if you had uploaded music into CapCut to edit something and then CapCut used it, you're liable. Can we talk a little bit about using music on Instagram in terms of the legality of being able to use, I'll use Taylor Swift as an example because I know we both love Taylor, like using a Taylor Swift song in a reel as a business, where that, like, legal line is?
Yeah, if there's a license there to use it commercially, like, there are segments in Instagram that use as, this is commercial license, like, you can use it. It's all the ones we never want to use because they're really boring. But those are, like, stock image rights, basically the same thing for music. So for instance, when I see an ad with a song that doesn't have commercial license, I'm like, that's pretty risky, to be honest. Like, that is very slam dunk. You are using music without a license, you know? So that is something that if you hire an ads manager, it's a good idea to have that conversation with, making sure that your ads only have commercially licensed music. But again, you know, I would say it comes down to your own risk tolerance. There are a lot of people who have no risk tolerance and only use commercially licensed music. And then there's the ones that pick and choose and use trending audio and are going to take that risk because it's, you know, everybody's using it. There are 185,000 people who have used that music and they're like, the odds are low. But just know that if you don't have commercially licensed music, then you could be asked to take the post down if it's really salesy, or, you know, you might get a cease and desist, or, you know, some other mechanism that someone who owns that audio wants to take it down. And it really comes down to your own risk tolerance.
Yeah,
it definitely adds. Like, I'm in some algorithms where I see licensed music and without the commercial license. And I'm like, that is just risky because that is so blatant. And I think I should know this because I do my own ads. I think there is, like, a music section in Meta that says these are commercially licensed tracks that you can use.
Yeah, like,
so
they have their,
about that.
They have their, like, systems and recommendations, like, you cannot use it, but there are ways around it, and that's what they don't want you to do. But that's, like, as you're saying, like, playing with fire.
But that's your own risk.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
On a smaller scale, I have seen it where, for, like, regular non-ads content, where some people can run into issues is they've hosted something that has original audio, like it's someone else's audio they're using, but that audio contains copyrighted music, and then the audio gets removed from their content. Yeah. Like down the road, it gets pulled, the audio gets pulled, and then you have content out there that doesn't have any audio on it.
I'm definitely guilty of that. I like went on a self Instagram reel binge, like, oh, look at this old video. I'm like, why am I talking to nothing? And I'm like, oh, because that creator removed it because they didn't want it being commercially used or for whatever reason. So you're absolutely right. That is one of the risks.
Yeah, so much to think about. I think it is like with so much of what we do as humans and like business owners is that like risk tolerance, as you were saying, like what feels good to you. And then if you are creating for others, there's like another conversation about making sure that your contracts are updated for folks so that they know that you are using this service. And is it coming in a contracts market update?
Probably once I get my head around it, to be honest. You know, but if it is like that is also one of the things about using a contract template, like if like I can't update them as fast as these laws like are rolling out. So if it's something that's really pertinent to you, it's a great time to reach out to a lawyer and, you know, ask them specifically about how you can have this conversation with your clients and education and how things change. Like it's actually an added value service to your clients. If you can say, hey, CapCut just rolled this out. I'm bringing it to your attention. Are you okay with me still using this? Or if not, let's switch apps immediately. But you need direction from your client on that. And you need consent from them, in my opinion, at this point, to use CapCut to edit content. That is how I'm advising my clients right now.
Love that. And I know from your post, when you post this update, a lot of people were in the comments like asking for recommendations, and my recommendation like Jamie the social media expert, see, with your content is getting people there. My recommendation at this point doesn't have the same capabilities as CapCut and doesn't have the desktop version, which was a huge benefit of CapCut, is Instagram's edits app. So it does a lot of the things. They're working on a teleprompter, so potentially Jamie, that might be a good alternative if you wanted to switch. But it's really like evolving, and I think it will become a good CapCut replacement if people are looking for an alternative.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these other platforms shift, or if they do, or if they'll be like, we are never doing what CapCut just did.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine what their burn rate was last week. Yeah. But again, it comes down to risk tolerance. Like there's going to be a lot of people that just say, you know what, I'm willing to risk it because like, really, what is the risk here? I did have an interesting question come through from somebody who is concerned because their kids play on CapCut a lot.
Mm.
You shouldn't be having your kids play on these apps. That's just my personal two cents. It's actually a violation to have anybody under 13 on these apps. It is set out in the terms of service that you should be 13 or older. And then between 13 and 17 for CapCut specifically, that you have assumed parental consent. You know, get your kids off the app. you don't, if you don't want their videos flying around the internet.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably a good recommendation to anything ByteDance does, is we shouldn't have children on them. But I mentioned I use contracts market templates for basically anything legal in my business. And I know for a lot of like small businesses, the legal side can feel really intimidating and maybe we don't even know what we don't know. So when it comes to marketing, we'll talk marketing specific, but marketing your small business, what are some of the things like the must-haves and the need-to-knows for small business owners?
Yeah, it's such a broad topic, but let's do like some like takeaways. So I think if I had a dollar for every time I said this, like if you have a website, you need a privacy policy. And that needs to just be something that you have. It's low-hanging fruit. It is a legal requirement in Canada and the US. It doesn't even matter. Like I'm thinking about that as marketing because all of us likely have a lead magnet or some kind of way we're collecting emails, or if you aren't, you should be. And you need to be telling people how you're collecting their data, why you're collecting their data, what you're doing with it, how you're using it, all the things. And you actually need to be living by this. Yeah. So don't just steal someone else's privacy policy. Like, it should be tailored in some way, shape, or form to your own website and to your own business policies. So that for sure, low-hanging fruit. The FTC, which is the Federal Trade Commission in the US, has ruled out a bunch of new online marketing, let's call them laws, guides, compliance requirements. And you should be familiar with those, whether you're in Canada or the US. I think I've done a few posts on them on my Instagram. You can check them out. But just off the top of my head, a few to really like be aware of are like, if you are using testimonials in your business, first of all, they better be true. And second of all, you can't hang your hat on one testimonial and sell your whole program around the fact that you had one stellar review and then the rest were shit. Mm. They have to actually reflect the average outcome from the average person that joins your program. So that is starting to shift the way that people use testimonials. So, you know, if you say that, like, context is everything, really. You know, if you have a coaching program and you've had 500 people come through and one person hit six figures in your coaching program, but everybody else kind of stayed the same and really just kept fumbling in their business, you can't hang your hat on that one testimonial. You have to make sure that they're truthful, they're accurate, and they're representative of the average. The other thing, there's quite a lot of new laws coming out around memberships. I know memberships are like having a hot minute. You need to be understanding the laws around memberships that apply to you, whether you're in Canada or the US. So right off the top of my head, the big one is like click to cancel rule, which is rolling out in July, unless FTC pushes it back again. If you have a membership, it needs to be as easy to cancel that membership as it was to sign up for it. So if you have a sales page set up on your website that allows people to buy without emailing you, you cannot require someone to email you to cancel. And this, again, is really easy to find for people to scan websites and see if you're non-compliant. The same thing that people are doing with websites that don't have privacy policies. There's a bunch of sleaze bags out there scanning websites, see who doesn't have a privacy policy, signing up for their freebie, and then slapping them with a privacy violation. So just when I say a privacy policy is low-hanging fruit to be legally compliant, I mean it. Same with click to cancel rules for subscriptions. And then I think just overall, when it comes to marketing, making sure you're just being really honest. And I know this sounds so like, yeah, Jamie, of course. We've all seen income claims that don't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
We've all seen the way a vibe comes off on a website or an Instagram page selling you this high ticket experience and high ticket outcome when that's not the case. That's not what is actually being delivered. Not only are consumers getting better at smelling that this doesn't pass this, like it smells like shit because it is shit.
Yeah.
But that it's really low hanging fruit for the FTC to say, you guarantee or you sell this idea that people are going to hit seven figures after working with you. Where are your receipts? And if not, you're violating the FTC laws for compliant marketing now. So just really making sure that any kind of income claims you're putting up, any kind of testimonials, anything that you're doing in your marketing, you've got receipts to back you up.
Love that. And I think there's like in the world of online marketing, there is this kind of unsaid pressure where we see these people doing marketing in a certain way. And it feels like, okay, that's kind of the way to do it. Like the income claims and things like that. But really going back to what is actually true, what feels good, and not doing things that feel uncomfortable for you as a creator, because there's probably a reason why it doesn't feel good. And it might come down to like legal compliance isn't actually there.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point you just made. Like, just because someone who's ahead of you in business is doing it one way does not mean it's the right way, the only way, or the legal way. You know, I just went through someone's sales page for like a very high ticket mastermind, and they collected money before they sent a contract. And I was like, I would not ever advise against, like, what are the terms? Do I get it back? Do I not get it back? Like, I didn't sign anything. And they're very ahead of business. They're a very prominent coach, and they were not doing it a legally compliant way. You should have a contract signed before any money is exchanged. So just, again, don't assume just because someone's ahead of you in business or big influencer or has a big name online that they're doing it the right way.
Comparison, it can get us at any point. And yeah, it's really good to take a step back and think about it on the legal side, but also, yeah, what feels good for you as a creator. So
I love that.
Okay, Jamie, where can people find you online to see cute pictures and videos of your dog and get really good legal updates?
Over at Contracts Market. And on my email list is kind of where I send out really a lot more detailed information and, you know, dog stories and all the fun stuff.
Yeah. Jamie's emails are excellent. I'll have everything linked in the show notes as well as a link to Contracts Market. I have an affiliate link. If you're looking to get your privacy policy after listening to this episode, all those links will be in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining, Jamie, and kind of diving deep on this topic, because I know so many people a little freaked out from the news.
Fair enough. Thanks for having me.
You're well on your way to becoming social goals. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. It helps your small business friends find the pod. Follow Social Cat Media on Instagram, that's cat with a K, and head to the show notes for my best free resources. See you on social, and see you next week right here with a new episode.